जस्यं जम्मा विदुर हरे. ओ किंग, व्हेन द लॉर्ड अपीयर ऑन द्वादशी, द 12th डे ऑफ द मून, द सन वाज एट द मेरिडियन. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadasi is called Vijaya. Text number 7. Shankha dundu bhayo nedur mridanga panavarnaka chitravaditra turyanam nirgoshastu mulubhavat. Translation: conchels, kettle drums, drums, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. So there were mridangas, and wonder if we're ever gonna get for the temple a dundu drum, dundu. Dundubhaya, kettle drums. How, that's the one that is Lord Shiva plays, no? That one? The kettle drum? I will have to find that one, that will be interesting, yeah. Jai Baladev Prabhu. Text number 8. Pritas chapsaraso nrityam gandharva pravarajadvu tushtubur munayo deva manava pitaro gyaya. Translation: being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, dance in jubilation. The best of the gandharvas sung songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offer prayers to satisfy the Lord. Text 9 and 10. Siddha-vidhya dharagana sakim purushakinara charana jaksha rakshamsi suparna bhujagotama gayantoti prashamsanto nityanto biduvagnuga aditya ashama padam kushumai samabhikiram. Translation: the siddhas, vidyadharas, kimpurushas, kinaras, charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of the serpents and the followers of the demigods all shower flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. Text number 11. Dristvaditistanijagarbasambhavam taram pumam sham mudam apavishmita grihita deha nijajoga majaja prajapatischahaja jeti vishmita. Translation: when Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jaya, Jaya!" in great happiness and wonder. And now we chant together. Yatat bapur bati bibushana. Let me see. Yatat bapur bati bibushadan sanajudan. Again. Yatat bapur bati bibushana jajudair.
Yatat bapur bati
avyakta chit vyaktan adhara jadari. Babhubatena babhudatena iva sabamanubhatu. Sampasya yatur sampasya tor divya gatir jatanata. Jatta vapurvati bibhushana nayudair. Avyakta chidvyetanakara jadhari. Babhu batenaiva sama savamanuvatu. Sampashator divya gatir jatanata. Yattat vapur bati vibhushana nayudair. Avyakta chit vyaktan adhara yadhari. Babhu batenaiva savamanuvatu. Sampasya tor divya gatir jatanata. Please chant. Yatta vapurva vibhushana nayudair. Avyakta chit vyaktan adhara jadhari. Babhu vatenaiva savamanuvatu. Sampashator divya gatir jatanata. Jagtad bapurvati bibhushana nayudair. Avyakta chit viktang adhara jadhari. Babhujyatenaiva savamanuvatu. Sampashator divya gatir jatanata. Yattat vapurvati bibhushana janudair. Avyakta chit viktang adhara jadhari. Babhu vatenaiva savamanuvatu. Sampasyator divya gatir jatanata. Vakta vapurvati bibhushana nayudair. Avyakta chivyaktan adhara jadhari. Babhu vatenaiva savamanubhatu. Sampasyator divya gatir jatanata. Yat, which, that, babuhu, transcendental body, bhati, manifest, vibhushana, with regular ornaments, ayudhai, and with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested, Chit Vyaktan, spiritually manifested. Adhanayat, assume. Harihi, the Lord. Babhuva, immediately became. Tena, with that. Eva, certainly. Saha, he, the Lord. Bhamanaha, dwarf. Vatuhu, a Brahmana Brahmachari. Sampashyatoho, while both his father and mother were seeing. Divyagatihi, whose movements are wonderful. Yatha, as. Nataha, a theatrical actor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord appeared in His original form, with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of His father and mother, He assumed the form of Brahmana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word Nataha is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5:33-39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaita nachutta nanani anantarupam adyam purana purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Rama dimurti shukalani yamena tishtam nana vataran akarod bhuvaneshu kintu. Nonetheless, although He appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But He can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of His mother, He appeared in the form of Narayan, with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transform Himself into a Brahmachari, Vatu. This means that His body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Jamma karma chame devyam evanjo veti tattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in His original transcendental body, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Pancha Kalpa Taruvya Shakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, the appearance of the Lord in the world is a huge event, universal event. It doesn't happen very often. Well, in the stretch, it happens. It happens actually, let me correct. It happens quite often, but when it happens, it's a big event for the universe. And you see that the inhabitants of higher planets, you know, more elevated type of personalities, it becomes a very festive thing. Everybody is aware. Like, it is there's a whole list of different personalities. Groups of elevated personalities, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, Kinaras, Charanas, Yakshas, even Rakshasas. They were all sort of aware. The sages, the Gandharvas. So it's a big thing in the universe. When the Lord appears, they're all aware, they come, they play instruments, they shower flowers on the Lord, and whatever his appearance, they glorify by prayers and hymns. So it's a wonderful thing that happens. Because it's explained, Prabhupada says here in the purport, actually in the verse, Srila Sutta Goswami said that he appeared when his form is not visible in the material world. So we hear in the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the demigods they have the need to approach the Lord. They go and they go to the shore of the ocean, of the milk ocean, and then through Lord Brahma they hear the voice of the Lord, but they don't see the Lord. They just hear the Lord. You know, they communicate like that. So in general, it's not seen, but when he appears, you know, there he is. You know, it's like, you know, the personality of Godhead is coming. And then, you know, it's a big event, universal event. And so it's a very important, and everybody, all these highest personalities, they're very attentive to the adventures. Is explained, actually, is the word that is described is adventures of the Lord. You know, I guess for fans of, you know, different pop icons of adventures in this material world, you know, the next Star Wars, whatever, you know. So people line up, you know, in big lines, you know, they're already writing things in advance, you know, and things, and getting the whole people fire up, you know, to read and get, you know, the information of what is the next adventure. So that's for the ignorant base, how they channel that natural attraction to these wonderful activities of the personality of God. You know, so the universe is very much aware and very much attentive. I'm very eager to see the adventures of the Lord. And these adventures are very uplifted. And they attract ones to how wonderful the personality of Godhead is. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there is the narrations of the sages of Naimisharanya. And we remember that they gather in Namisharanya because they wanted, they could see that the influence that Kali Yuga will have on the common people of the world. And they wanted to do something. So they started the sacrifice. And it was, you know, I mean, it was a very serious thing. And sort of like, how would you say it? You know, it was almost like a tragedy that you have to, you know, do something about it. Because, you know, Kali Yuga was going to dismantle the whole supportive structure for human society to be God conscious. So it was it's a tragedy in the world, and they wanted to do something to for the benefit of the people. So it's almost like a, you know, somber type of task. And as they were trying to do this sacrifice, you know, they were getting, it was not easy. In fact, it was very difficult, and the results were, you know, the things were not in place until this great sage, you know, appear among themselves. This great sage was Sutta Goswami. And Sutta Goswami was present during the narration of the Bhagavatam that Srila Sukadeva Goswami delivered to Maharaj Parikshit. And so immediately they recognized Sutta Goswami, and they placed these six questions. The first two questions were, you know, for the task that they gather. We want, please tell us, you know, what is the ultimate good for people? What can be put in place for people so they can benefit, you know, and they can actually being able to advance in spite of the onslaughts of Kali Yuga. But then they got really excited because they know that Sutta Goswami was present during the narrations of the Bhagavatam. And they really got excited. Like, you know, he just took off. They just got so excited about what? About hearing the adventures of the Lord. Of all the questions, most of the questions that they asked, we want to hear, they go like, you know, in actually excitement. Shanaka Rishi, who was the leader of the sages of Namisharanya, he goes, Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhago! Like, he calls Sutta, Sutta in jubilation. You're the most fortunate because you have actually listened. You have the qualification and you have listened very carefully and you have absorbed everything. So please tell us. Tell us about the wonderful passions of the Lord. We want to hear about his various incarnations. Actually, let me look in here. Just read a little bit of the questions. They say, so after they, you know, connect to Sutta Goswami in terms of, you know, the vices of Kali Yuga and what we need to provide for mankind, then he says, they say, O Sutta Goswami, we're eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnation. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and hearing them. So Prabhupada explains that the Lord, that the great personalities of the universe, they understand the Lord's position. You know, the sages, advanced personalities, they understand the Lord's position. And they're very eager to hear, because they actually relish. The sages will say that we are never tired of hearing about the personality of Godhead. We relish swade swade pade pade. We relish at every step, you know, the narrations of the adventures of the Lord. And so these great personalities, they have this natural attraction to hear, and they understand the personality of Godhead, and thus they want to hear more and more. But for those who are not in that position, those who are afflicted by material energy, by the material condition, then the Lord descends in his various incarnations just to benefit, to attract. Because those who understand the personality of God, they understand his wonderful qualities and activities and his relationships in the transcendental world. But when the Lord descends, he manifests himself in this material world, which is, just think about it, it's an amazing event. For in other religions, they have no they can't imagine that happen. They think, you know, Lord, the Supreme Personality of God is sort of inactive, maybe sitting in one big chair under a desk, you know, with a one of those mallets, you know, like saying guilty, you know, guilty, or, you know, you're fine or you're guilty. You know, this is as much as he does. To hell, okay, you come to heaven. And that's it. Sort of inactive there. But he performed all these wonderful variegated activities, full of, you know, different, they're unlimited, and they have all kinds of different, you know, shapes and things like that. Sometimes he comes, you know, as a horse. Sometimes he comes half lion, half man. And, you know, he comes as a swan, as a big fish, the tortoise incarnation. Then, you know, he assumes this beautiful, exquisite form of a brahmachari dwarf. But then he comes himself as Krishna and Balaram, as Lord Ramachandra. He goes on and on as Lord Chaitanya. So he does that to allow regular conditioned souls to be in contact with those beautiful pastimes that the Lord have in the material world. And we're able to hear. But there is a there's a catch. You have to be able to receive transcendental knowledge to be able to understand the past. You first have to understand the Supreme, have some understanding about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that only happens when there is the right conditions, proper rites. That when the sages were expressing to Srila Sutta Goswami, we're very eager. We're very eager. We come to you, we take shelter of you, because you have learned all these from your spiritual masters. You have heard very carefully and served, and then you have received all this. So there are two conditions that are necessary, require, for receiving transcendental, this transcendental knowledge, which is the necessary thing to actually being able to understand and appreciate and relish the adventures of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those two things is that the disciple or the audience have to be sincere and eager to hear. And when we talk about sincerity, means that ones have some initial understanding that that there is God, and there is myself, and then I want to learn, I want to find out, what is beyond this world. They have to be some sincerity in approaching the Personality of God. In general, these are pious people who does that. Sukritino. Krishna explained the four classes of men. So, sincerity and eagerness to hear have to be there in the audience. And on the teacher have to be a representative of the disciplic succession. Have to be what makes a teacher, a speaker bona fide, is that it's connected to the disciplic succession. And and this disciplic succession have to be one of the recognized disciplic successions that come from Krishna. It's not that anyone can start a disciplic succession, like that. But he have to be a bona fide one of the four disciplic successions that are recognized and certified by the scriptures. So only then, actually Prabhupada quotes like this, once learn an art, the art of submissive hearing. It's quite something. Submissive hearing. And Prabhupada says, this is the word, therefore one must be in the change of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. So submissive hearing means, that actually one is accepting one's position as a disciple, as a student, and therefore you're receiving knowledge. And unsubmissive hearing means that we have our own ideas, and we want, and sometimes we may, when we may challenge, the things that we hear, like we spoke yesterday about the how devotees or people in general will have problem to accept the Vedic astronomy, because we're so conditioned to accept, you know, the model, the astronomical model that is being given to us, you know, since basically at birth, like that. So we may challenge when we hear, you know, Prabhupada saying, they didn't go to the moon. You say, no, I saw it. Yeah, you saw in a little TV, you know, something. I saw also King Kong, you know, in the top of the Empire State. You know, that doesn't mean that happened. You know, so when we submissive is an art, but it's necessary for receiving transcendental knowledge. So then we can start to appreciate the messages and the adventures of Krishna in the world. And this is the examples of the sages of Namisharanya. They got so excited to hear about this. And then they go to say that who is there designed deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Who in the world with, you know, four fingers in the forehead won't be excited and eager to hear about that? If you want to become free from the vices of the age of Kali. So one of the wonderful things of the first canto is that Prabhupada wrote the Bhaktivedanta Purports and the translation of the first canto before coming to America. In the 50s he wrote that, and you can see, you know, Prabhupada's vision and understanding. And you know, this was in his preparation to actually coming to the West to fulfill the order of his spiritual master and you know, make a reality Lord Chaitanya's prediction that the cult of Krishna consciousness would go all over the world. That Prabhupada explains that, you know, that the leaders of society should actually understand that just this very simple act of hearing about the wonderful pastimes and adventures of the Lord are the solution for all the vices that Kali Yuga brings. Just that simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. Simple method. And he says, on the contrary, instead of just like appreciating and taking, you know, that simple methodology of peace and prosperity, they oppose it. They oppose the propagation of these things. So then, you know, we have the modern leaders of society, their favor a much more this whole thing of the how you say the godless the system. No, when there's a world that is used for not teaching or not putting religion in government and education. Secular. A secular type of state. That Don't bring religion, you know, into you know, the commonplace. This is your personal stuff. You can get together with your group of like-minded people and pack yourself in a building and you can do the things there, but don't bring it into the, you know, public place. You know. And if you bring it into the public place, you have, you know, there's all kinds of regulation. We have to get all kinds of permits. The police move you around, you know, you're not, you put you in a little square that you just like, you can, you know, step out of the square, you know, like that. So, and on the top of that, even if you're in the square, if they see that you're actually being very successfully doing that, oh, let's send them to, you know, a less busy spot, you know, so they don't have much contact with people. But this is what leaders of societies are, you know, because it's a nuance. Like there's devotees of the Lord broadcasting the glories of the Lord, you know, in the public. It's a nuance for the leaders, you know. You're obstructing the flow. So, this is the beauty of what we're receiving. We're receiving the opportunity to appreciate and to relish. And it's ever fresh. That's a wonderful thing also of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. That we can never get tired. The sages says that. They say, Vayantu nat vritapyama uttama shloka vikrame yatsin vantan rasagyanan swadu swadu pade pade. We're never tired of hearing the transcendental passions of the personality of God as who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationship with him relish hearing his passions at every moment. So it doesn't get you don't get tired. It's, you can hear it every year after year, and it's the same excitement. Just think about it. Every time when Nasringa Chaturdasi comes out and then we hear about the passions of Lord Nasringa, they're coming out and you see the same play, the kids or the adults, you know, everybody, you know, it's always the same. Oh, yeah, Sharibol! You know, or the passions of Lord Chaitanya delivering Jagaya Madai. It's like every time you laugh about it and, you know, every time you get excited, you know, it's ever fresh. And what to speak when we read, you know, Mahabharata or Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, as you go through your life, you go over and over and over, and it's always fresh, new, and you, every time you have entrance to a little something that you didn't experience before. Because as our consciousness expands, then we have entrance to much more subtle information that is there. We can appreciate when we associate with great devotees, like this weekend when we associated with His Holiness Ramapad Swami and His Grace Dravida Prabhu. And, you know, we can see, for example, Dravida Prabhu, he's a shloka, when he takes a shloka, and he takes one word of that shloka, and it's almost like, you know, he's relishing that one word of a shloka. And then from that word, he expands into something, you know, he goes deep, just one word. And so there's so much depth in each thing that we hear, that we're exposed to. So it's ever fresh. You never get tired. And you get more and more a taste. Why? Because as we listen, we become purified. And as we become purified, we have the capacity to go deeper. So it's an ever-expanding ocean of bliss. That's what Lord Chaitanya says, you know, ever-expanding ocean of bliss. So it's a great fortune. And then last point that also the sages of Dhammisaranya bring out is, and Prabhupada highlight that since this purport, is that the personality of Godhead takes all these different characters and forms, you know, just like an actor. And the sages of Dhammisaranya express something similar. They say, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, play like a human being, and so mask, he performed many superhuman acts. So they take all these different characters. Sometimes they appear in human form and they act, you know, with human qualities. Or sometimes they appear in animal forms. Actually, it's explained in all species. You have this question, all species of life. So there's insects, there's, you know, all kinds of, you know, things. But it says, and actually Prabhupada explains that, you know, the adventures of the Lord that we receive, you know, the ones that the demigods have access to, is like way much bigger, expansive than the one that we receive. So, so Prabhupada explains that the Lord, he plays his parts just like an actor. It's the same personality with all the same transcendental qualities and potencies, but then takes all these different characters and display all these wonderful activities. In this case, he assumes the form of a beautiful Brahmana dwarf, and you know, he goes and plays his part. He has his little pot, his umbrella, and he's dressed, you know, like a brahmachari with a deer skin, and he goes into the sacrifice arena and he asks for some charity. In a very humble manner, he just asks, no, I just want a tract of land that I can cover with 3 steps. You know. So he plays a nice, you know, he plays a part. Krishna, this is what the sages of Dhammisaranya are appreciating. Krishna performed this, he plays like a human being. But his acts are superhuman. He's max like a human being, like a baby and the thing, and you know, he's hungry, he's playful, he's mischievous, you know, he gets attracted to, he has friends, you know, he likes to play with his friends, he likes to eat sweets and butter and this and that. So he have all these traits that are human-like. And these traits, for those who are not pious, for those who are influenced by demoniac propensities, they take him as, you know, an ordinary human being. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Manushyanam Sabat. No, that's the yes, it's in the 7th chapter. I just got a blank, but it's a famous verse. That those who are covered by this that's these demonic tendencies, they don't understand his supreme position. They just consider an ordinary human. So Prabhupada explains that these doctrines of anthropomorphism and soulmorphism, they don't apply, because this is something that how people, the demoniac, try to explain, you know, this past tense of the Lord, human-like. Manushyananta, that's out of many thousand, you know, the Abhayananti man would have a Tanu, what is it? Abhayananti man would have Manusin Tanu Ashitan. Yes, thank you. Avajananti man mudhas, fools and rascals, probably. They don't understand. They consider Krishna to be an ordinary. No, he's a powerful guy like that. So, so anthropomorphism, you place human traits into the, you know, the personality of Godhead. So, or something, you know, when you say Father Time or something like that, you know, that's anthropomorphism. Or when you say, the Father, God the Father, anthropomorphism. So we put in some human-like traits into something greater, the universe, or things like that. And soulmorphism is when you put animal things, you know, like the traits of animals. So when we hear about the incarnations of Kurma or the incarnation of Matsya, Lorna Sringadev, soulmorphism. Is, you know, put it down like that. That doesn't apply. At the root of that is impersonalism and atheism. The impersonal source of things like that. Oh, so it means that, you know, you can, if Krishna is nothing but a man a man have the capacity to also get there. So I'm also got the capacity to get there, you know. So I can become God by penances and austerities, you know. So then you have the so-called gods that appear. Prabhupada say this is rampant in India. In fact, it's like that. I always say it, you know, like I just remember the first time I went to India, I was in Mumbai, and, you know, as I'm walking from the place that I was staying in my way to the temple, there's this big poster advertising this fellow about, you know, he had a program, and it was a picture of the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu, you know, with the whole, you know, crown and garlands, the yellow garments, the four arms, the four weapons, the Kostuva jewel, the Eldadad, and with the face imposed of this fattish fellow, And then the title was Jimmy Bhagavan. Jimmy Bhagavan. And then besides Jimmy Bhagavan, there was a picture of Lakshmi Devi with a lotus flower and, you know, like that. And with an imposed picture of his fattish wife, you know. So there were the two of them, Jimmy Bhagavan and his Lakshmi. Both of them were not very good looking, and but Jimmy Bhagavan. So by popular vote, just because you show some sort of an opulence or, you know, some magic power, then you become God by popular vote. Krishna is not that type of incarnation, because, as explained, he performed wonderful, superhuman acts. So when we hear the passage of Lord Brahmadev, we're going to hear, it's not something ordinary. With two steps, he covered the whole universe. With one step, he covered the whole earth. With the second step, he covered the whole universe. The third step, we know, he put on the head of Bali Maharaj, we hear. But so, wonderful pastime. So, this is the excitement of hearing these wonderful adventures of the personality of Godhead. It's a great event. Any comments or questions? Dr. Mitch Prabhu.
When we're reading about the pastimes of Krishna in the Krishna book or something like that, how can we understand that we're interpreting, that we're understanding it correctly, and we're not imposing our own conceptions after reading it? How do we know that we're actually understanding this knowledge as it is?
Well, you have to stick to the guidance. It's almost that you have to be taken by the hand by the spiritual master on that. So that's why the Bhaktivedanta purports are there. We've been taken by the hand by Srila Prabhupada. So it's safe. Especially for us that, you know, we're still conditioned. We still have the lenses of, you know, our different upadis, our different conceptions, material conceptions. They're all there. And so when we have those, we have to be very cautious. We have to understand we need guidance. So to enter into the presence of the Lord without having the guidance of Srila Prabhupada or Srila Prabhupada's followers, then is a risky business. So therefore, you know, for new devotees, us, what's wrong with Krishna book? Was not satisfying about Krishna book. Why do I have to go to the Goswami's books when I'm a neophyte? I have plenty with Krishna book, and you can read Krishna book over and over and over until, you know, it becomes like, you know, with Krishna book has Prabhupada's. Prabhupada takes us on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam by the hand. And, you know, and allow us to enter in the presence of Krishna without having any misunderstanding. Because at every line, every moment, he's reminding us, Krishna is God. You know. We are. We're like the tiny, you know, conditioned soul. So then what happens if you do the same and you go into the books of the Goswamis, who is, you know, way up there, and I start to listen to the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis and the intimate pastimes and this and that, you know, no doubt you get into a very, very, you know, murky space. So, one time I heard this new devotee telling me, oh, as soon as I have a chance, the first book I want to, you know, a guy, uninitiated devotee, a bhakta, I want to get, you know, the Gopal Champu. I say, what's wrong with Krishna book? It's like, you know, just, you know, learn Krishna book, you know. Yeah, but, you know, these other ones are more, you know, it's like, come on, you know. So, yeah, we need to be, it's the art of submissing hearing. We have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master about these pastimes. So it's very nice also when you go into like these yatras with a spiritual master. It's wonderful. You get about these pastimes, but you're guided by advanced devotees. So you hear about them. Then you hear all the more, you know, varieties of pastimes, a little more deeper into this and that, connecting that and this, you know. Like, I've been listening to my Guru Maharaj's presentations on the Dwarka Yatra, and it's like, you know, it's like going deeper into Krishna book. It's so exciting. It's amazing, you know, you go more deeper into Krishna book with guidance like that, because it's quoting from, you know, the some of the Puranas, the Skanda Purana, a lot that it gives more details on Dwarka. So it's very, you know, you're very safe. So then you got the right understanding. Jai Balade.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Actually, your last comment you mentioned to Mish Prabhu, it's kind of related to my question. You mentioned about seeing through our different, the lenses of our upadis, our conceptions. And this purport, Prabhupada mentions the verse from Gita 4:9 about seeing Krishna in truth. So it's kind of related to that. So one thing I brought to mind in this regard is that you've heard the phrase jumping to conclusions before, where we kind of self-authorize ourselves as seers of the truth. And there's many examples in the scriptures where, you know, you jump to conclusion. I'll just give one. Like, we could see like Lord Shiva giving the Bhagavatam with his wife on his lap. If we had to give our purport of Lord Shiva's character, it obviously would be, you know, not so good. And there's also one nice pastime in 9th Canto, chapter 3, where this the daughter of a king offended a great sage. And in order to rectify that offense, the sage wanted to marry the daughter. But he was an old sage. He was old enough to be a grandfather, decrepit. So long story short, this sage wanted to be more youthful and young for this daughter. So he bathed in some youth lake, and then he came out as a young man. Later on, the daughter's father saw her with a young man, and he started blasting his daughter. Like, he basically called her a prostitute, I think. Like, you know, I raised you better than this, you know, you act like a prostitute, you're just gonna be materialistic. So he jumped to a conclusion. But the daughter said, you know, this is actually the same person. He was like, okay. So my question is related to that point is that we have the ability to see on the outside, but Krishna has the ability to see on the inside, which means that we're not actually a witness of persons, places, things, or circumstances. So, but we get into the dilemma, and I think that's what causes different friction with devotees. They see one thing, another thing, and then they automatically become preachers of the truth. And even if somebody had a fault, you know, that's not actually the true personality. That's the disease. We love the disease, but we hate the disease. And we can see that Prahlad, even though Hiranyakashipu had a fault, he prayed for his deliverance. Haridas Thakur was beaten by, you know, Muslims in 22 marketplace, but he prayed for deliverance. So even if somebody does have a fault, that's not actually their personality. So how can we give it this tendency Well, basically, there's a quote that says, nothing will give you greater peace than minding your own business. And so how do we come to that stage of, you know, not authorizing ourselves as seers of the truth? And because that could...
By Krishna consciousness. That's why we're taking this process of Krishna consciousness. You know, we went this weekend through a whole seminar on Anartha Nivritti. So that's our business. Our business is to purify ourselves by the process of devotional service, seriously applying it, to actually grow and become mature as a devotee. All those are problems of immaturity as devotee. You know, that if I find fault, if I jump to conclusion, if I insult this, if I get insulted, if I then all that stuff, all that drama, is just belong to a material consciousness. So, you know, we want to get out of that whole, you know, sort of muddy hole. And for that we have to apply. I like very much one class that my Guru Maharaj gave, the last class, which was what to do, what is the things that we have to apply to overcome anarthas. And then he quoted Srila Jiva Goswami, two things we have to be there in order to actually advance. Is that once we have to have an understanding and sense of humility. And the sense of humility means, you know, that seeing my position, that I cannot achieve this on my own. I cannot become purified on my own. My position, I'm a conditioned soul that is completely victimized and caught in this material illusion. And I see the personality of Godhead and his representative, the spiritual master, as though my beneficiaries, my benefactors. So that mood of humility, of dependence, and he say, you know, that I'm not independent. And you know, he explains, you know, this that the significance of everything we pray, everything we approach, you know, even the prayers that we say, that you know, that includes this word Namaha, means that we're declining, we're denying our sense of independence. That we're declaring our sense of dependence on Krishna and Krishna's representative. So the mood of humility, and the second one is the quality of our sadhana, to the seriousness of how we take up the process of sadhana to apply it properly. Because by that, by carefully doing the things that we've been given, are, you know, the purifying practices of sadhana, by paying attention to it and carefully doing it, we become cleansed, we become purified of all the anarthas. The anarthas is what make all the drama. You know, that's what all the stuff that we have, all this, you know, this and that, I feel this way, you know, all that tiring stuff that we have to go through, the consequences of anarthas. So we just have to get rid of the anarthas. And here's the process to get rid of the anarthas. We went through, and I mean, listen to it, it's amazing. So on YouTube, it's really relevant. I mean, we were here, you know, right? Brad Prabhu was, you know, telling me, you know, you know, I have a lot of work to do, you know, he was saying, you know, like, you know, just appreciating the information that we receive to actually focus, you know, what we need to do. It's just that. Get out of the whole drama, you know. So, all right, I'm going to stop here, actually, because it's late. We can talk, you know. We can talk apart. Yeah. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.